Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to get into the Word of God and be committed to it. And Father, the things I have to share today, Father, may they be things that are powerful and things that it'll cause us to remain with us forever and understanding really what the kingdom of God is really all about. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I thought it very unusual, but it seems like God's moving in my heart today to deliver a message to you. It's kind of unusual, but I don't know. Maybe it's because of so many people believing there's so many ways to God. I don't know if any of you remember that we had a screen we put up there about a guy who was in advocating being a Muslim. Do you guys remember that? And he was in jail, and how Jesus approached him while he was in that cell. And do you guys remember that? Do you remember how moving that was? And see, he was actually advocating being a Muslim, and here Jesus approached him. He felt the presence of God. He didn't see him, but he felt him. And spoke to him that he was the one who could forgive him of sin. And it just blew this guy away. And I mean, I'll tell you, I don't think there was a dry eye in our sanctuary when we played that tape, but he received Christ. And people, we need to get a revelation of what it means to be eternally lost. You know, it's interesting how the world portrays openly death. I don't know if any of you watch these John Wick movies. I watched them. And the last one disturbed me because it gave me the impression that the way that you settle anything is kill somebody. And it was just death after death after death. And I got to thinking, all those people just going off into eternity and not being able to see the other side of something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, also I had heard, I don't know how true it is, but I heard that there are actual Christian believers who do not believe in hell. Matter of fact, I had one lady come to me, I don't know whether she's still here or not, but she was in a church where the pastor was advocating there is no such thing as hell. And that all loving God would not do what they say that he does by incarcerating people in hell. And that really disturbed me because the Bible is full of the fact that if you don't receive him, you don't make it. And Jesus is the only way, really, to God. Now, you know, I don't know about you, but I got a little callous towards the nation of Israel in my heart by them rejecting their visitation. But you know something? When I started doing a little studying on the nation of Israel as a whole and how they believe their Messiah to return, and especially when I've been studying end time things, especially the book of Revelation, and how much God turns back and uses the nation of Israel in that last 7-year period, I was shocked, and it made me really weep for the nation of Israel. I took a little different approach to understanding the position that the Jews are holding, and it grieves my heart. And I got to thinking back on some of the subjects that Jesus was put into with a lot of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, and how shut off they were. But you know, when I think back and think that what Jesus had said, and I got to thinking, I need to put myself into their shoes and see if I would respond the same way. You know, and so I put myself back into their thinking. Would I have responded the same way? And I got to thinking, well, you know, it's a hard thing for somebody to come along and say, before Abraham was, I am. You know, and there was a situation where that happened. And they said, well, who do you think you are? And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And they derided Jesus because how can you say you were before Abraham when you're not even as old as Abraham and he's passed away? You know, they couldn't see past the person to see what Christ was really all about. Mm-hmm. And he was the only way to salvation. Now, I want to show you something that God had shown me quite a while ago. And if you will, you have your Bibles, open them up to, Luke chapter 10. Jesus spoke in parables, and sometimes you have to really pray through to get the revelation of a parable. But I want to clarify something for all of you. Even though there are many people with many beliefs and many faiths, you're not asked to sit and argue with them and get into a bitterment with them just because they believe the difference of you. I always say, stay at peace, stay calm, and look for an opportunity to share something that might get them to think. You know, and I don't know who this is for here today, but I feel in my spirit that if you've been fluctuating back and forth and not really feeling firm in your belief with Christ, maybe this message this morning will help you. In Luke chapter 10, I want us, we'll start with verse 25. I'd like to start before that. But before that, Jesus was rejoicing in spirit. And this is when the 70 had returned and they were amazed at how even demons were subject to him. And you know, when Jesus sent out the 70 under his anointing. And Jesus said, you shouldn't rejoice over the fact that demons were subject to you, but you ought to rejoice over the fact that you're saved. Your name is written in heaven itself. And so, coming down to verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer, he is the teacher of the law, this lawyer, stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, Jesus, you have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, he wanted to justify himself. Why did he want to justify himself? He was set against Jesus and what he was claiming to be. And he said to him, but he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, well, then who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, and that's what some of the Pharisees and Sadducees declared to Jesus, you're nothing but a Samaritan, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bandaged his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And Jesus was asking this lawyer. And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Isn't that interesting? Now, there's a little interesting story behind this parable. because they knew what he was talking about. When he was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. In Jesus' day, this trip was known as the Bloody Way. And it's from one point of being up to another point being down. So it meant a descending. And he said, and in this descent, he fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead. Isn't that interesting? Well, when you look at this, where he fell among thieves, there was a threefold curse that fell on mankind after the fall of Adam and Eve. And the threefold curse was poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. Now, Jesus was challenging this lawyer. And he goes on saying, stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leading him half dead. He says, but by chance, a certain priest. And he also says, likewise, a Levite came down that same road and went by him and did nothing for him. Priest and Levite. The lawyer knew what Jesus was referring to. Because according to the law, there was what we call the servers of the law, which was sacrificial and ceremonial. And so Jesus was telling him, so you're a lawyer, you're a teacher of law, and yet a Levite and a priest and a Levite went by and couldn't do anything for this man on the road. He says, but a certain Samaritan, and we don't have time, but if we went into the book of John, I'd show you where they finally got so mad at Jesus for what he was saying he was, they said, you're nothing but a Samaritan. They accused him of that. So Jesus used the term Samaritan. What he was referring to was himself. And he says, and I went to the man and I did two things to him. I poured in his wounds, oil and wine. You know what that's a type of people? The Holy Spirit. Right. Yeah. Poured it into his wounds. Bound him up, put him on his own animal, and took him to the end. And I'm going to tell you what the end is a type of. It's a type of the church. Yeah. And he told the innkeeper, he says, whatever you do, you take care of him. And that's God's under-shepherds. You take care of him. And if you have gone beyond what I leave him with, he says, I'll see to it you're repaid back. And he left him 2 denarii. 1 denarii is a day's wage. 1 day is 1,000 years to the Lord. So he could have been saying, roughly, I'll return in approximately 2,000 years. Now, when he said he'd pour in oil and wine, isn't that interesting? You know, our word connections was, I love them. They're great. But I thought what was interesting is when we had at the beginning the subject of the Holy Spirit, there's where we got most of the conflict. People, I'm going to tell you something about the Holy Spirit. There's two things God left us. He left us the witness of Christ, who was here before he actually showed up. But we have Christ, and all those out of the Old Testament who received him before he manifested are now with him, because the graves opened up when he went up, and they all went with him. Are you following me? And then he says that it is needful that I go away, because if I don't, I cannot send the Holy Spirit to you. I want to send the Holy Spirit to you because he is the one who can represent me in the earth, and you cannot bear anything that is of me until he comes and not only is upon you, but moves in you. And so this is a story about Adam laying in the road of time and no one could help him but Jesus. He's the only one that could have done this. And this type of parable, it didn't begin with the church. Because the church wasn't even known at this time. It began way back at the fall. And so this lawyer knew what he was saying. And Jesus knew he knew. Because he was a teacher of the law. And Jesus turned to him and said, "You go do the same thing." Can you imagine how he felt? I'm going to tell you, people, we are living in a world that is in a, I don't know about you guys, is a world of hurt. They don't know what. Their minds are actually, their minds are not right. And you and I have the opportunity to think right. And so rather than to look at the world and get an attitude towards the world, look at the world in such a way that you as light in a dark place have the ability to shine. All of us do. We have that ability to shine. And I thank God that I know what I know about the Word of God, because now I won't sit and argue with somebody or fight with them. I'll just listen to them. And as I'm listening to them, I'll look for a place to put a word in there. Are you following me? Rather than sitting there preaching against what they believe. No, that's not, you're going to go to hell if you believe that way. You ain't going to get nowhere with anybody. But if there's a way you can plant a seed in them that will not cause them to uproot it right away, let it fester in them, then you're a lot better off, because you're giving God the opportunity to make that thing grow. You know, God is so good. We need to have confidence as God is moving among people. You know, just because we're not there doesn't mean God isn't doing anything. Did you know there's people probably all around you that God is speaking to them, and you're not saying anything, but God's speaking to them and saying something to them. Do you know that? And so I'll never forget years ago, a friend of mine, and we got together, and he put a speaker on his car, a loudspeaker. We were driving around in this parking lot, this Safeway parking lot, and we were preaching the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus Christ wants you to repent and receive him. You know, and I'm more of a subtle kind of guy, and I was kind of... I hope nobody really sees me that knows me, you know, that kind of a thing. And anyway, all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me and said, "Get on that loudspeaker and say this." And I went, "Oh, what do you want me to say, Lord?" "Get on that speaker and say, I know Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you want to know him, ask me of him." And I handed it over to my friend. He goes, "Hey, that was cool." I said, "I don't know why I felt led to say that." All of a sudden, banging on the window. And I look, and there's a young kid on a bike. And he's banging on my car window. And so I roll my window down, and I said, "What?" And he goes, "You said Jesus." And I said, "Yeah. You said that you knew him." "Yeah." He says, "I want to know him." And I said, "Oh." And I got thinking, "Wow, this is cool." That's what I was thinking. And I said, "You want to know him?" And he says, "I'm going to tell you something. My parents are alcoholics. They're drunks. They're always fighting. They were violent. I was shook up one day. I thought my dad was going to carve my mother up with a kitchen knife. And he said, all of a sudden, he heard a name on the inside of it. Sam, I am Jesus, and I can bring you peace." And he didn't know what that meant. He'd never been to church. But Jesus spoke to his heart. I'm going to tell you, people, Jesus can speak to a sinner. Just like that Muslim. And he said, I didn't know what to do. And then I heard you say that on the speaker, that you knew Jesus. And how do I give my heart to him? And so I got out of the car, and here are all these guys in this auto parts store looking at me. Oh, I wonder what he's going to do to that young kid. They thought I was going to bash him in the head or something. And so I told him how to receive Jesus, and he received Jesus with me. About right there in the parking lot, we prayed, and he asked Jesus into his heart. And I hadn't seen him since. But I'm going to believe he's still saved, and he went on to be, you know, in the kingdom of God. I just thought that was so cool. But I'm going to tell you something, people. We are living in a very confused world, and it does not help to argue with anybody. But what helps is to keep your heart open for everybody and look for an avenue to put something in there. And God can use you in a wonderful way. We were coming from Tulsa back to Washington State. I don't know if you remember that. So we were in a restaurant. And we were sitting in this restaurant. And all of a sudden, the presence of God came all over me. And I felt the presence of God. And I said, do you remember? I looked at you and said, I said, Sue, the Spirit of God is all over me. And Sue goes, you better respond. And I'm sitting there. And I said, well, God, wow, I feel your presence all over me. Why are you all over me? If everything, you know how we always think negative. Is something going to happen to me? Oh, what's wrong? Finally, God spoke to me and he says, Jan, he says, there's a girl here that knelt on her knees and said, Jesus, I don't know how to receive you. Send somebody to tell me how to receive you. My family needs help. They're into witchcraft and all that, but I don't know you, Jesus, and I heard that you can help. So that was a prayer she prayed. And she was in a foreign family of some kind. And I'm sitting there, and I'm going, is that you, God? Is that really you? And so right away, well, it's got to be him. I feel his presence all over me, and that's what he said. And I'm looking around, who is it? Who is it? Who is it? I look this way, and I look that way, and I'm looking this way. And I'm going, oh, man, I hope he's not going to point, and I have to go over to the table and point my finger at him. Boy, that, you know, your brain locks up. And all of a sudden, this arm come across the front of me. Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but here's your coffee. And the Lord spoke and said, it's her. And I went, ma'am, you know what the Lord told me? And she goes, what? I says, your family is into witchcraft. And my head is, my heart's beating out of my chest. And I'm just hoping she just don't take a swing at me. And I'm saying, well, and you wanted to know how to receive Jesus so that you could help your family. She started bawling. And she said, the Lord told you that. I said, yeah. And I saw you kneeling on your knees next to your bed and asking. And she just was crying then. And I says, here's how you receive Jesus. It's that simple. Then, of course, that host lady, remember her? What are you doing over there? Get over here. Quit that. Get over here. And so I had time, and I told her. And so she went her way. You know, but I'm going to tell you, people, that's exciting when you walk with Jesus like that. Do you know every one of you in this room, you have that opportunity. You just have to be sensitive to hear that voice. And I'm going to tell you something. God's voice don't come to you so you can argue with somebody about what they believe. God's voice will come to you so that you can hear God, what's really in another person's heart. That is so important. That's why it's important how you carry yourself as a believer with all people. You always need to carry yourself as a good example. Somebody's saying, well, hey, you know, I believe you can be a Christian and still do this or that. Hey, it doesn't matter. If it brings an offense to somebody, I won't do it. Just the fact that I have the open door that I can speak back into their life. Is this making sense? I felt led to go in this direction. I don't know why, but I'm going to tell you something. We need to be sensitive to God's ability to speak in every one of your heart. When you leave this sanctuary, this place should be full because you could hear God's voice. You have the ability to hear God's voice. Boy, I'll tell you what, I was so fired up. And I've told this, I gave you this story years ago. We used to go out and witness all the time and preach to people on the street. And we went to hamburger place. They don't have them no more, but they used to be all over in Seattle there. And we were out there witnessing on the street and preaching away. And finally, this one young guy comes up and he says, "Whatever you do, don't go over there and preach to him. He's an atheist. And if you go preach to him, you'll get a fist in your face. He's a firm hater of Christians." Well, me, I'm young and dumb. You don't tell me not to go and preach to somebody like that when you're young and dumb. And I said, "Well, I'm going to go preach to him." And he goes, "You have at it, buddy." And so I walk over to this guy, and the guy's sitting there, and you think, he's got this attitude, "You don't preach to me, or I'll smack that tar rat out of you." And as I'm walking towards him, I'm saying, "Oh, my Lord, my God, what am I doing? Oh, my God, look at this guy. I mean, just look at his eyes. It is enough to want you to crawl under a rock someplace." And I'm going, and I said, "God, you better tell me. You better tell me to tell him something fast." And I get up to him, and he looks at me, and I says, "I understand you're an atheist." He says, "Yeah. What about it?" And I says, and it just came out of my mouth, I says, "Well, you're not." And he looked at me and he says, "What do you mean I'm not?" And I says, "The Lord told me you weren't." And he goes, "Oh, the Lord told you that?" And I says, "Yeah. And matter of fact," and this just came out of my mouth, "the Lord also told me that your grandmother was a strong believer in the Lord." I don't know how I knew that. It just came to my head. And whatever was coming to my head, that's what I'm saying. And so I said, "And your grandmother was preaching away to you, and you went into your bedroom, you shut the door, and you got down on your knees, and you said, 'God, if you're real, then show yourself to me.' And you waited and waited and got nothing and got up, and from that point on, you didn't want nothing to do with God." And he's gone. And I looked at him. Boy, what? I didn't realize how gutsy I was, but I said, "And God is confirming to you right now that he lives." And he goes, "Who told you that?" I said, "God. God told you that?" I said, "Yeah." I says, "Now's the time to receive him." And he grabs my hand, and I prayed him into the kingdom. And he cost me a hamburger. Now, this comes with a warning. Whenever you get a word for somebody, make sure it's God. But that's one of the reasons why it's so important that you stay in fellowship with your Lord daily. Stay in fellowship with him daily, people, because daily he has need of you. And I'm going to tell you, they always say, "Oh, the harvest is ripened. It's ripe. Get a clue, it is. There are people out there that need us. They need us. And the only way to do it, preach the kingdom of God." Well, I hope you guys got something here today. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus went and told that young lawyer. He says, "No, I'm the good Samaritan. I'm the one that's going to see to it that something can be done for humanity that's laying in the road of time and has no hope." Yeah. Amen. Stand up, everybody. Now, I don't know who I was preaching to, but I'm going to tell you something. If you know Jesus, but you don't know whether you're truly saved or not, today is the day to get a confirmation in your heart that Jesus is there to totally bring you into the fullness of what you need. And I'll tell you, God can strengthen you in doing it. Do you believe that?
Yep.
Hallelujah. God is a good God. God is a good God.
Amen.
God is a good God. Hallelujah. And God is reaching for souls. I know we got a negative world facing us, but I'm going to tell you something. You know how to face the negative in this world? How to face it? Face it by being active for the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, if you go to a grocery store and you see somebody limping around with a cane and stuff, unless you're really led of God, don't go up and pray for him for an instant healing or anything like that. Some people do the stupidest thing. I've seen people in wheelchairs. I never felt moved by God to go up and say, hey, you ought to get a healing and lay hands on them and drag them out of a wheelchair. Can't do that with people. But sometimes I felt led to mention something to somebody about the kingdom of God. You follow me? Hallelujah. With every head bowed, Father, tonight, or this morning, as we now get ready to close this service, Father, if there's anybody here that wants to settle into their spirit where they are with you, this is a great time for them to do that, Father. We'd be glad to lay hands on them and join our faith with theirs, that, Father, they can be used of you in a wonderful way, because, God, that is what you want us to do more than anything else. That is to win the loss into your kingdom. And just as you used me in those instances, Father, you can use them the same way that you use me. And there is a world out there that is still crying out to this very hour. People wanting to know who you are because they've heard about you. Father, use these wonderful people in this building as an avenue to receive you. Hallelujah. So if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, feel free to come forward right now. And if you have and never been filled with the Holy Spirit, oh, you need the Holy Spirit in your life, feel free to come forward and receive him. If you want to be prayed for physical healing, now's the time to do it. Anybody? Anybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something. It's important. Your life is important to the Lord. You might not feel important, but you are important. You're so important to the Lord. Every one of you are important to the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Okay, there's somebody here. You've been struggling with migraines. Who is that? Well, I'll pick that up real quick. Like, who's got the migraines? Is that you? Come here. You're going to get healed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Ura shala rukumbara. Kishianda tarachianda. Le rondo koshenda. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Lower back. Who is it with the lower back? Who is it with the lower back? Is that you? Oh, huh? It started today really bad. Boy, I'll tell you what. I don't know about you guys. I've never really had back problems in my life till I don't know whether it's old age or whatever it is. But I'm more compassionate on lower backs than I used to be. And I had to stand in faith until finally, praise God. But somebody said, well, why don't you go to a chiropractor? Well, I don't like the witness of the chiropractors. They get you hooked one time and it seems like you repeat. And I didn't want to repeat with chiropractors. Praise God. Hallelujah. Your lower back? Okay. Lower back. Who else? Praise God. All right. Who has that inner ear thing? Who is it that's kind of goes flippy-do? What do you call it? Vertigo. Hallelujah. Who is it with the vertigo thing? Oh, is that you? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You too, huh?
A little bit of dizziness, huh?
Stupid inner ears. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Boy, there's going to be some nice healings going on today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody here, you've got also a condition in your jaw. Who is that? You got a condition in your jaw. Who is that? Praise God. Praise God. You got a hurt there now? Pops in and out. Yeah, you're the one. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, are you guys going to agree with me here? Hallelujah. As we go through this, praise God. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, as I go by and lay hands on every one of these beautiful people, Father, may your healing power touch them in a wonderful way in Jesus' holy name. Father, I thank you for this wonderful people. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for Ted, too. I'm glad you sent him back our way. And Father, in Jesus' name, use Ted in a wonderful way. And everybody said,